Amen. Good morning. Good it is to sing together, and we'll continue in worship, the reading of God's word. We have finished the parables of the kingdom, and we're going to read about the death of John the Baptist. Let's stand and read this together. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people, because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl. And she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took his body and buried it. And they went and told Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we can be together and we can worship you together this morning. Thank you that you make it clear you delight in our praises. You inhabit the praises of your people, Lord. Who are we that we could bless you? Or we are your redeemed. We believe in your salvation. We believe in your mercy, Lord, and we want to honor you. And Lord, we want to honor you every day with our lives, with how we live. We want our lives to be an expression of thanksgiving. In the midst of good times and bad times, Lord, we want to rejoice in your salvation and look forward to heaven. So Lord, we pray you would guide us, give us understanding how to follow you, Lord Jesus, how to keep to the narrow way. And Lord, how to be useful in your hands. Lord, would you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, revive us in your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, I can go to Chick-fil-A, get a cup of coffee for $2.25. Cup of coffee with vanilla creamers, $2.25, free refills. All the coffee I want. Or I can go to Starbucks and pay $4.05 for a large coffee with vanilla creamer. For $4.05, why do I do that? Why do I pay 80% more for my coffee? I think one reason is so I can speak Italian, right? My coffee isn't prepared by a server. Prepared by a barista, right? I don't order a large, I order a venti, right? Venti is Italian for 20. I want a venti, right? And then they'll write my name on it and call my name out. And that actually, you know, creates a sense of connection, right? And as long as I'm feeling so sophisticated and connected, I might as well shell out 12 bucks for a double ribbon caramel coconut crunch frappuccino and a petite vanilla scone. Can y'all relate to what I'm talking about at all? We all, thank you, Julian, we all know what it's like to be guided by marketing. Salespeople know how to make us feel good, and they're good at it. You know, psychologists have done tests. Even when you know you're being complimented for a test or for the sake of a sale, it still makes you feel good. Jason, that's a really nice jacket you're wearing, dude. It looks good on you. Y'all seen? Yeah. It works. And even if we know why they're doing it, we still like it and we still want more of it. Our hearts are so hungry for approval. And we are so vulnerable. We are so fickle. We're so We're so hungry for it. We're vulnerable to peer pressure. One of the worst decisions of my entire life, seventh grade, I got my hair permed, right? I got it curled, right? Big, big wavy curls. I was walking out of the beauty parlor and a middle-aged woman pointed to me and said, "See, why can't you make my hair look like his?" I don't know, I am doomed, right? Junior high was miserable for me, the peer pressure, right? We are so vulnerable to it. And they make young, can peer pressure get young German boys and young Cambodian boys to embark on a campaign of genocide? Absolutely. We are all vulnerable to this sort of thing. It's how fickle our hearts are. So look at this. In this passage, we see how does a 14-year-old girl, about 14, manipulate a king or manipulate a ruler to chopping off the head of an innocent, righteous man and presenting it on a platter at a party? Let's look at this. Just want to look at this passage. Herod is afraid of men. We're going to look at this. We have two choices, basically. We can either fear God or we can fear men. There's not really any other choice. So I'm going to look at these two men and simply consider which one do we want to be like? We want to be like Herod or like John the Baptist? So why is John the Baptist in prison? He's in prison simply because he said that Herod's marriage to Herodias was not right. He marries his brother's ex-wife, who also happens to be his niece. And John said, "This is not right what you're doing." Now, John didn't judge Herod's heart. He didn't say anything about his character. He didn't say anything about his politics or his policies or his ideology or his motives. All John said was, talking to this ruler in Israel, "What you're doing is wrong." He compared Herod's actions to what it says in the Bible. He said, "You know, Herod, it says here in Leviticus, what you're doing is wrong." Herod's wife, Herodias, it ticked her off big time. So they had John thrown in prison. Now, John was a tough guy. He wore clothing made of camel's hair, but it didn't itch because he was a very hairy guy. And he lived out in the wilderness, he's just like Elijah, lived on locusts and wild honey, right? Just Grizzly Adams type of guy, right? Very tough. And he was preaching repentance, right? All of Israel, if you see in the beginning of the gospel, all of Israel would come out to him and he's preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The Pharisees, the religious leaders came to him. Said, "What do we do?" He said, "You brood of vipers. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." That was his message. He was a tough guy. But the reason for this preaching was to point to God's salvation, to point to his mercy, to point to his grace, proclaiming you find mercy and grace in God. Yes, he is holy. But because we preach his holiness, we can also preach his mercy. Because we preach righteousness, we preach loving kindness. Loving kindness and truth have kissed one another, Psalm 85 says. Righteousness and peace have embraced. If you don't have one, you don't have the other. You cannot have love. You don't have an iron fence around it. If you want to have a fire inside your home, right, you surround it with a really strong, solid brick wall. And then you can keep the home warm for a lifetime. But if you don't have those strong rules, you'll burn the whole house down. So John preached repentance. He preached toughness. How do they begin a session at the U.S. Senate, right, where they are going to make rules? They're going to make rules for our country, establishing right and wrong, establishing what we should do for an orderly, peaceful nation. They begin those sessions. The sergeant of arms comes up. Says, all persons here are commanded to keep silence on pain of imprisonment. You got to be tough. Same thing at the Supreme Court, right? The marshal comes up and enforces control. That's kind of what John was doing. He's just preparing the way to proclaim Christ. And he makes it very, very clear. This isn't me. This isn't my righteousness. When he pointed to Jesus, he said, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. It's not my righteousness. I'm just telling you what God's word says. Just like he told Herod, this is wrong what you're doing. Don't do this. He said, I'm just baptizing you with water. He's going to baptize you with the fire, with Holy Spirit. And his winnowing fork is in his hand. He's going to divide the thresh from the wheat. The wheat he's going to take, store in his barn. The chaff he's going to burn with unquenchable fire. John the Baptist just made it. He said, I have to become less. He becomes more. That's called putting on the breastplate of righteousness. Right? This isn't my righteousness. This comes from God. This isn't my idea. I'm not judging you. I'm not judging you, your heart. I am one beggar telling another beggar where to find the bread of life. When we say, I'm not ashamed of God's holiness, I'm not ashamed of his righteousness, because I need his grace and mercy just as much as anyone else. So, you know, when we're talking with people, we want to make that clear. We want to testify. It's not about me. I'm not judging. I'm just telling you what God's word says. And I love his word. I love his holiness, his righteousness. That's where I get my mercy and grace and loving kindness. That's all John the Baptist was doing. Okay. He said, Herod, what you're doing is wrong. And so he's thrown in prison. And, you know, we're reading about this later. He goes on to kill John the Baptist. And then when he hears about Jesus, that's where he says, oh, John the Baptist must have raised from the dead. Okay, who is Herod? We see a little bit about John, pointed to Jesus. Now, John also struggled with doubt. John struggled with depression. He's in prison. And just like Elijah, right? He said he came in the spirit of Elijah. Elijah at times struggled with doubt and depression, right? Elijah was the guy who went up against the prophets of Baal. Said, Israel, make a decision. He told King Ahab, a ruler in Israel, this was 8 centuries earlier, that you make a decision. Are you going to worship Baal or are you going to worship Yahweh? Decide. And they had a showdown at Mount Carmel. And after the showdown, Elijah went and chopped off the heads of all the prophets of Baal, several hundred guys. And then after that, he fled, and he was afraid, and he was depressed, and he said, Lord, take my life now. I'm no better than my ancestors. And God tells him, be patient, because I've got 7,000 men who haven't bent the knee to Baal. Okay, Elijah got depressed, filled with doubt. John the Baptist, also, he's in prison. He doesn't know why. Do you remember we read before? He had pointed to Jesus, says, here's the Messiah. I baptized him. I heard God speak from heaven. This is my beloved son. I saw the Holy Spirit come down and baptize him. And then John was full of doubt. He's done everything he was supposed to do. He's done all he was supposed to do. And now he's in prison. And so he sent his friends to ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? I thought you were. But what's happening? Why am I in prison? I did what I was supposed to do. John pointed to Christ. He preached God's righteousness. He himself struggled. But he said, he must become more, I must become less. Okay, that's John the Baptist. What about Herod? Who's this guy Herod? John the Baptist feared God even when he struggled with doubt, even when he struggled with depression. He feared God. What about Herod? Who's this guy Herod? Herod Antipas. His father was Herod the Great. His father was an absolute tyrant. Herod the Great, he had banished his first wife and her son because he's jealous for his authority. He doesn't want to share it with anyone. He had another wife killed and her two sons killed because he didn't want his power going to them either. He didn't want to share it with any of their family. He was an absolute tyrant. When some wise men came from the east saying, "Where is he who was born King of the Jews?" What did Herod the Great do? He sent to Bethlehem, killed maybe 20, 30 little boys trying to kill Jesus. He's a tyrant, right? And Herod's wife, so this is Herod Antipas, Herod the Great's son. His father was a tyrant. His wife, Herodias, she's also a tyrant. Once guy's head delivered up to him on a platter at a party. Okay, Herodias, ladies, listen to this. Herodias married her uncle Herod Antipas after divorcing another uncle, Herod Philip, with whom she'd had this young woman we read about. Herod Antipas had likewise divorced his wife, Phasaelus, so he could marry Herodias. And this girl would go on to marry Philip the Tetrarch, who was also son of Herod the Great by another woman. What does that mean? That means this girl was both aunt and sister-in-law to her own mother. I'm not making this up. Michelle, what if your mom called you auntie or sister? Not in the Christian way, but in like a literal way. These families messed up. So Herodias, she asked for John the Baptist's head on a platter. And if we compare, if we say John the Baptist is coming in the spirit of Elijah, similar thing happened to Elijah, right? There was another tyrannical queen of Israel who hated Elijah, wanted him dead. That was Queen Jezebel. After Elijah took on the prophets of Baal and chopped off all their heads, Queen Jezebel said, "May God deal severely with me, and more so if by this time tomorrow you're not dead." She wanted him dead. She didn't kill him. She later got run over by a chariot, and the dogs ate everything but her hands and feet. But just like Jezebel hated 8 centuries earlier Elijah, so this other, almost a queen, wife of a ruler in Israel, wanted John the Baptist dead. And Herod, comes down to it, he feared man. Why had he not already killed John the Baptist? What does it say? Though he wanted to put him to death, verse 5, he feared the people. So he hadn't killed him because he was afraid, because people thought he was a prophet. They might rebel, might be an uprising. Now he kills him because he's afraid of what his guests at a party would say. He's giving in to peer pressure. He fears man. So for you and I, do we want to be like John the Baptist, or do we want to be like Herod Antipas? That's our two choices. We can fear God, or we can fear man. We can have the endurance to hope against hope in God's promises, or we can give in and do what the world says to do. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. That's in Proverbs chapter 29. So Which one do you want to choose? Let's just consider, ask myself, what is my end game? When all is said and done, I want the approval of man, or do I want the approval of God? Which one am I going at? I really don't think there's a third option, one or the other. Okay, all of us start on the left side. That's just human nature, right? We're hungry for approval. We're hungry for peer pressure. All of us are going to start over there. That's just who I am. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who want to honor God. Blessed are those who want his approval, want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. So I'm seeking the approval of man. I'm going to lie. One time I told, had a test. This was in seminary, right? I was taking a test, and the last question was a essay, and it was a take-home test. I was doing it in the library, and it said, you have 45 minutes to write this essay. And I froze. I just absolutely froze. For 45 minutes, I didn't do anything. I just sat there. Has that ever happened to you? You just freeze up. I couldn't do anything. And then after 45 minutes, I started writing. And I wrote a long essay for about 45 minutes. And then I wrote a note to my professor. I said, you know what? I spent 45 minutes writing this. I only spent 45 minutes writing it, but I waited 45 minutes before I started. So there it is. Went to turn in my test. This note is stupid. I threw the note away, right? I was afraid. Later on, I was racked with guilt. Later on, about a year later, I don't know, a couple years later, I told my professor, by the way, I cheated. I was afraid and came back. He was very gracious to me. I told him what I did. He was very gracious. That's okay. You only spent 45 minutes writing it. Don't worry about it. We will lie. We'll deceive because we're afraid of men. What did Abraham say when he went to Egypt? There was a famine in the land. He went to Egypt, and he was afraid of what the men would do with his wife. What did he do? He lied. He was afraid. And later on, he had to come out and just be honest. Later on, he was transparent that I was afraid. Later on, he began to trust God. He learned to trust God over the years. And if God says to do something, he does it. Even if he says, go up on the mountain, sacrifice your one and only son. Approval of man will struggle with being cowards. When did Nicodemus talk to Jesus? Nicodemus, this great educated Pharisee, talked to him in the middle of the night, right? He was afraid. He was afraid of what other people would think. Do you remember when a blind man, Jesus gave sight to a blind man? Gentlemen, do you remember that? Jeremiah, there was a blind man, and Jesus gave him sight. And the rulers came and said, ask the guy's parents, how was this guy born blind? How does he now see? And they were afraid to answer. They were afraid of what the rulers would do to them. But the young man, he had courage. He said, I don't know whether Jesus is a sinner or not, but I know this. I was blind and now I see. And they put him out of the synagogue. They excommunicated him. So he had courage. If we seek in the approval of man, we will compromise. What did Aaron make after Moses was on the mountain for 40 days? They came out of Egypt with great signs and wonders. They passed through the Red Sea. And then they're at the foot of Mount Sinai. There's thunder and lightning. He made the golden calves. I just compromise. Here, Israel, here are your gods. Today in America, we'll have preachers of compromise preaching designer gods who are just out to give you what you want, make you feel good about yourself. They won't preach the righteousness of only God. They won't preach repentance. Instead of compromise, we want to have endurance, right? Those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. If we want the approval of man, we will disobey. What did the people say when God told them, go in and take the land? And they sent spies to spy it out. And they said, we are afraid. We're like grasshoppers. They were afraid to go in and take the land. Caleb and Joshua said, no, we can take it. Later on, Joshua would lead them against taking Jericho, just by singing, marching around the city singing, very courageous, very trusting. Of course, we'll be people-pleasing. Peter would struggle. One time, Peter was in Jerusalem, and he was mingling with Gentiles, right? Eating and drinking with non-Jewish Christians. They'd become Christians, but they hadn't been circumcised. And some Jews came in and said, they need to be circumcised, some Jewish Christians. And Peter was afraid. And he stopped associating with certain people. And Paul stood up and rebuked him. Why are you giving in to this peer pressure? Why do you fear man? We don't want to be afraid of associating with our brothers and sisters, right? In school, in the workplace. We don't want to be people pleasers. Paul said, am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Peter was afraid of men, and he denied knowing Christ at all, right? Denied it with curses. Later on, Peter had great boldness. Later on, when they brought Peter and John in the book of Acts, they brought them before the Sanhedrin, said, stop preaching about this guy. What did Peter and John say? Whether it's right for us to obey God rather than you, you be the judge. We cannot stop speaking about what we've seen and heard. And they pounded him. They beat him up real good. And they came out rejoicing. And finally, there is the passivity, right? Jesus told a parable about a master giving his servants talents. And he wanted them to be bold, to go and invest their talents and make a profit. And a couple of them invested and made a profit, and the master said, well done. One of them took what God had given him, what the master had given him, and buried it in the ground. He was afraid. Cast that servant into outer darkness. God has given us a lot, and sometimes we're afraid, right? We want to just hide. We want to not associate, we want to deny that we've known Christ at all, and we hide. He wants us to be bold, wants us to be trusting, wants us to be active. The bottom line, if we're gonna go with the approval of God, we're gonna believe that God is with us, that will give us the boldness. He is with me, and I want to be with him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fear. Even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are with me. As when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, it won't burn you. He is with us. What does the name Emmanuel mean? God with us. We don't need to be afraid. It's who he is. He's with us. What is the greatest blessing you can give someone? Say, God be with you. You know, that's what the word goodbye means. Contraction. God be with you. God be with ye. Goodbye. Next time someone says goodbye to you, say, amen. Thank you. Preach it, brother. God be with you too. Can you do that, Josh? Maybe. When I told you when I was in junior high, I got my hair permed, right? It was awful. It was horrible. I got a crook in my neck, and I walked around just stressed. I had to go to the nurse during school because I had a crook in my neck. I couldn't handle all the stress. Jesse Sanders invited me to his church on a Wednesday night, invited me to come in, and I saw the youth group, and I saw these guys singing. I'd never seen kids sing before, except when I went to a Van Halen concert. I'd never seen kids, you know, sing with like joy and happiness and friendliness, and I was absolutely blown away. And they shared the gospel with me. And I said, sure, I'll take it. Yes, I'm a sinner. And just completely gave me the peace. I was such an insecure kid. I was stressed out. But when Jesus came into my life, I started trusting people more. I started connecting with people more, making friends. I started getting bold. By the time I got into college, I got a little too bold, started picking fights unnecessarily. That totally turned my life around. And we want to be able to proclaim his salvation in a way. Say, this is where mercy is found. This is where love is found. Proclaim the holiness of God like John the Baptist did. Because we proclaim his holiness, and proclaim his mercy. I want the approval of God. I want to repent of the compromise, the disobedience, fear. He wants us to be strong and bold. He wants us being hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you. You make it clear, Lord. You want us strong. You want us healthy. You want us bold. Like John the Baptist here, Lord, we struggle day after day with fearing man, with wanting approval from people. Lord, give us the wisdom to want the approval from you and want to share with other people your love, your mercy, your grace, to share your goodness. Strengthen us, Lord, to honor you. Proclaim your mercy. Pray in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen.